Title: Using Notebooks to Log Sample Sources Intermediate. All right, quick mindset shift before we touch Ableton. This lesson is not about being organized. It's about speed and control, because in drum and bass, your sample library can become a superpower or it can become that black hole where you lose the exact break, forget the vocal stab source, can't rebuild the bass, and you end up scrolling for an hour instead of writing. Today you're building a simple sample source log system that you can actually maintain mid-session. Not a diary, a weapon. The goal is, when someone asks what break is that, you can answer in 10 seconds, and more importantly, you can recreate it, tweak it, or reuse it in another tune with confidence. Here's the core habit we're training: source chain thinking. Where it came from, what you did to it, where you used it, that's the whole game. Step 1. Choose your notebook format. This is the least glamorous step and the most important. Pick whatever you will keep open while producing: Notion, Apple Notes, Google Keep, Obsidian, OneNote, or honestly, even a physical notebook next to your controller. Here's the rule. The system must be usable in 15 seconds mid-session. If it takes you 5 minutes to write an entry, you will not do it consistently. And consistency is the only thing that makes this work. Step 2. Create a DNB-focused logging template. Make a note called something like DNB Sample Source Log 2026. You can do it per year, per month, per app, whatever fits your brain. The structure matters more than the timeline. For each sound, you're capturing a few specific fields. You'll start with date, project name, BPM and key. Then sound type: break, hat, snare, hick, bass layer, effects, vocal, atmos. Then source: pack or library, folder path, original file name. And if it came from a longer file like a track, video, or a movie rip, you note the timestamp. That timestamp thing is not optional. It's the difference between I can find it instantly and I'll never find it again. Then licensing notes if relevant. Even just a quick cleared, unknown, or need to check goes a long way. Then processing, devices or chain, key parameters, and whether you resampled. If yes, you write the new file name. Then where used, scene or arrangement location, track name in live, and the collection tag color. Now, I'm going to add two extra fields that save a ridiculous amount of time later. First, confidence. High, medium, or low. This is how sure you are about the source, licensing, or timestamp. If you grabbed something in a messy session and you're not totally sure, mark it low. Future you will thank you. Second, rebuild cost. Easy, medium, or pain. If you lost the project file, could you recreate that sound from your notes? This forces you to write down the one or two things that actually matter. And I want one more tiny line, why you chose it. One sentence. Not a paragraph. Something like, pick this hat loop for the 3rd to 16th shuffle, or this snare has wide 200hz body under the reese. That single sentence will instantly bring back your intention months later. Step 3. Set up Ableton's browser for loggable speed. Open Ableton Live's browser. You're going to make places that match the way drum and bass sessions actually evolve. Add folders like breaks RAW, breaks chops, one shots for kicks, snares, hats, foley and textures, and resampled prints. The point is, every time you drag something in, you already know where it lives, and your notes can match reality. Then use collections, the colored tags, as status labels. For example, red for go to breaks, yellow for needs cleanup, green for cleared and ready, blue for resampled gold, purple for vocal stabs and phrases. Here's the practical move. When you tag something in the browser, you write that color into your log under where used. That creates a link between the notebook and Ableton's actual browsing system. Your notes stop being abstract and start being searchable and actionable. Now step 4. Logging a break properly, the classic jungle chop scenario. Let's say you grab a break from a pack. First, drag it into an audio track, then set warp on. For typical DNB break handling, go warp on. Mode beats, preserve transients. Then adjust the envelope somewhere around 60 to 80 for punch. That number is not sacred. You do it by ear. You're listening for the break to stay snappy without turning into a clicky mess. Then you consolidate clean segments. Pick the best 1 to 4 bars and consolidate. That's Command or Control J. Consolidating is you saying, this is the chunk I'm committing to. This is now my working asset. Then slice to drum rack. Right-click the clip. Slice to new MIDI track. Slicing preset transient. Create drum rack. Now the most important part. You log it immediately. Not after you finish the drop. Not after you add distortion. Right now, while you still remember, your entry might sound like: sound type, break, source, pack name, folder path, file name, processing, warped in beats, preserve transients, consolidated two bars, slice to drum rack via transients, where used, drop one bar 33, drum rack name, and your collection color, maybe red if it's a Godu. The teacher note here is simple. In DNB, you're about to do 10 more steps to this break. Once you do, the original becomes unrecognizable. Logging now preserves the truth. Step 5. Logging a resampled new break. Because this is the real DNB world. Most heavy breaks become new samples after you process them. So treat resamples as new assets, but with a parent source. That parent-child relationship is the lineage. That's what makes your notebook powerful. Build a break processing rack on your break bus or drum group. Stock devices are more than enough. Start with EQ8. High pass around 30 to 45 Hz to stop low rumble from fighting your sub. If it's harsh, dip a bit around 3 to 6 kHz. Then drum bus. Drive maybe 5 to 15. Crunch 5 to 25. Boom is optional. In a lot of modern DNB, it muddies the bass. So don't force it. Then saturator, maybe analog clip. Drive a couple to several dB for thickness. Then glue compressor. Attack somewhere like 3 to 10 milliseconds. Release auto or around a tenth to 3/10 of a second. Ratio 2 to 1 or 4 to 1. Aim for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. If you're slanting it, you're changing the groove, not just gluing it. Then a limiter just as a safety if you're printing hot. Now resample. Create a new audio track named something obvious like resample break bus. Set input to resampling, or directly from the break bus. Record 8 to 16 bars of your groove. Consolidate. Export or collect it into your resampled prints folder. Now you log it as a child of the original. Sound type. Break resampled. Source. Parent break file name and pack. New file name and path. Processing. The key devices and the one or two settings that define the sound, like drum bus drive and crunch, saturator drive and blue compression amount. And here is a big coach tip. Snapshot the routing. Write one line like printed from break bus to drum group to drum master. Because later, you will wonder why the print sounds more glued than what you're hearing live, and 9 times out of 10 it's routing and gain staging. Naming tip while we're here, include BPM and section in the print name. Like type. Source, rack name, BPM, and drop one or build. Future you should never have to guess where a sound belongs. Step 6. Loving bass layers like a pro. DNB bass is rarely one sound. It's layers, resamples, effects, and movement. Your notebook needs to capture the layer plus the chain, but without writing a novel. Let's say you're building a Reese in Waveeatable. You make an audio effect rack called Reese Macro Rack. Your chain might be Waveeatable with a bit of unison, slight detune, then saturator for mid harmonics, auto filter map to a macro called movement, chorus or ensemble for width but only above about 150 Hz, EQ8 to keep sub mono and clean, then a limiter to catch peaks before resampling. When you log it, don't try to document every knob. Document what matters. Instrument. Waveeatable in it or whatever the starting point was. Rack name, Reese Macro Rack V2, for example. Processing. Saturator drive amount, and the macro intent. Like, macro 1 movement goes 15 to 65 over 8 bars, opens filter and increases chorus. That's performance behavior. That's what people forget. Then if you resample, write resampled 16 bars at 174 BPM, and where used in the arrangement. I also recommend adding a field called spectral roll for bass layers. Just one word, sub, low mid, mid, air, noise. When you come back later, you'll instantly understand what that layer was supposed to do in the stack. Step 7. Make logging frictionless inside the project. Two habits. First, put a log locator in arrangement view at bar 1. Something like, log, break equals a min pack, bass equals waveeatable res v2, box equals slice, and so on. This is not replacing the notebook. It's a quick index, so if you open the set, you get the overview instantly. Second, use track names to encode source. For example, break MN170 RAW to rack a print, or snare one shot pack X017, or Vox Movie Rip 01 timestamp 01322. Then your notebook can reference the track names and everything stays connected. Now, common mistakes to avoid. First, logging only the final sample. That's how you lose the original source and you can't rechop, relicense check, or reprint properly. Second, writing novels. If it takes too long, you won't do it. Third, inconsistent naming. Break new final 2 is the enemy. Include type, source, BPM, section. Fourth, forgetting timestamps for rips. That one is brutal. Fifth, for getting resample chains. In DNB, the chain is the sound. At minimum, log the key devices and one or two critical settings. Now a few pro tips for darker, heavier DNB. If you stack distortion, log the distortion stages separately, like saturator for mids, drum bus for transient bite. That tells you why it works. Track your clean subsource. If you're using a sign-in operator, log it. Tunes fall apart when you can't rebuild the sub-relationship and your prints no longer match. If you do neuro or tech resampling, create a little index style, rack name, macro movement notes, and any post-processing like EQ notches or multiband dynamics. And if you use multiband, log crossover points, because that changes the vibe more than people realize. Also, right arrangement placement. Heavy DNB is about when things hit. Pre-drop riser last two beats. Crash on bar 49 only. Ghost snare up beat at bar 35. That saves hours later. You can even add debut bar and peak bar. Debut is first appearance, peak is where it hits hardest. When you revisit, you'll balance repetition and surprise much faster. Okay, quick 15-minute practice. Pick one classic break and one hat loop from different folders. In Ableton, warp both. Slice the break to drum rack. Make a 16-bar rolling groove at 172 to 174 BPM. Process the break bus with EQ 8 into drum bus into glue compressor. Then resample 8 bars of the full drum groove to audio. Now make two notebook entries. Entry A, the original break and hat sources. Entry B, the resample drum print. Include parent sources, your processing chain, and your routing. If you did this right, future you could rebuild the drum sound with zero guessing. Final recap. Your notebook is a production tool, not admin work. Log source, processing, and where used, especially after chopping and resampling. Link it to Ableton using places, collections, track names, and the LOG locator. And think lineage, not a list. Raw source to chop decisions to bus processing to prints to arrangement placement. If you tell me what app you're using for notes and whether your DNB leans jungle, roller, or neuro, I can tailor a one-page template that matches your exact resampling style.